Welcome to On Course, the teaching ministry of Pastor Hart Ramsey, where we offer simple biblical insight into some of life's most pressing issues.
What if I told you that a lot of the pain and difficulty and adversity you're experiencing is simply God aligning your now so you could be prepared for your tomorrow?
Prepare for the next few minutes to be encouraged, enlightened, and inspired. Let's join Pastor Ramsey and get on course. What is going on, good people? Welcome to another edition of this incredible podcast that we call On Course with Hart Ramsey. It's your opportunity to hear from the heart of God by way of the man of God. Of course, I'm Gerard. Y'all didn't come to hear me. You came to hear the one and only pastor, doctor, apostle, all the titles, all the things. Pastor Hart Ramsey, how are you, sir?
I'm good, Gerard. How you doing, man?
Yeah, you know what? I'm doing all right. I'm doing all right. Now, first of all, I got to say a big thank you again to everybody who is just, we've had so many people who have been just tuning into the podcast. It's kind of like the relaunch and everybody has been waiting for it. But they waited quietly. And so we're back and people are excited and I'm super pumped. Now, for those who don't know, and if they don't know you about, if they don't know this about you, they're kind of under a rock. But for years before social media was super popular and before pastors came on social media doing what they do, you were kind of the social media pastor who provided all sorts of great insight and bite-sized nuggets that people were able to walk away with. And so a couple of weeks ago, you did this one post that I was like, as soon as I saw it, I was like, this has to be unpacked on this podcast. Cool. And you even done a series on it, but you called the post the foot in the door attack.
Yeah.
And you were calling it the foot in the door syndrome. Now, I could read parts of it and I might read just a couple of lines, but I really want you to unpack it. Because you had like seven different points in there, but the idea of it was basically dealing with your transition from one season to another and how sometimes, you know, as Silk Sonic said, we leave the door open, right? You know, exactly. I'm gonna leave the door open and it creates a crazier scenario than we could have ever imagined. So let's unpack this. What exactly is the foot in the door syndrome?
So, man, I did that post. I think I'm looking at the date of it. I think it was like,
yeah, it's a few weeks ago now in January. Yeah.
So what is dealing with, I saw a pattern in my own life and in the life of people who are lives of people who are counsel, where they're trying to move on from maybe a bad situation to move on from a situation that they've spent a lot of years in, or maybe it's just this time to move on. But, and it's spiritual, it's a spiritual attack where the enemy's trying to hold you in this space where he sticks his foot in the door where you can't totally and completely close the door, either emotionally, financially, spiritually, mentally, whatever. And he keeps you in this space and you have to, you're trying to push forward to your new life while having to deal with problems or occurrences in your old life. That is called foot in the door syndrome. And it's always a spiritual thing.
Wow. I think that's important for us to note because we are in a space right now where we're really trying to determine what are the right tools to use in certain scenarios. So, for instance, there are certain things that, you know, the Bible talks about can only come by fasting and prayer.
Yeah.
And while that is important, I often feel like as believers, we have applied that to the wrong scenarios, you know, and so we don't get the kind of results that we need. So this foot in the door syndrome, which I imagine there are people going to counseling for, they just didn't know that's what this was for. How do you break through this? Because you try to close the door, and I don't know that you know that there's a foot in the door until there are things from lingering seasons in the past that show up. How do you close the door?
So first you have to understand where it's coming from. So Satan, what he does, he uses different specific emotional manipulators. One of them is of course, one is distraction, and that's in play because he wants to distract you. He understands that you need focus to go to your future and have enough presence in the future to create something that's outstanding or worth even living for. Get it? So he uses distraction to break your focus, to kind of pull you in different directions. And then behind you, he uses different tools. One of them is unforgiveness. Someone in the past is not forgiving you, or they feel rejected. Mm. And rejection is one of the things where it kind of throws a shade or a cloud on your sense of self, who you think you are. So someone back there saying basically, and they may be acting as if they hate you, but they have this connection to you. They don't want you to leave. Satan will manipulate things like that. For example, it may be financial, maybe a financial situation where you have some business you're doing back there. You thought you closed it out, and then someone is saying, "Well, we did some work, and you didn't pay us, so they're gonna put a lien on it." And they're kind of keeping you tied to the past. That's the part you need to realize. It's a spiritual anchor to the past. The only way, the main way, is, and you mentioned it, is fasting and prayer. And when I talk about fasting and prayer, I like to say fasting with prayer, because fasting is a different entity. I said this before, maybe on previous podcasts. Fasting is like lighting a candle and you're letting it burn, right? Mm-hmm. It's going to have effect. It's going to give light. It's going to do what it's supposed to do. If it's a fragrance candle, you're going to smell it in the room, right? So fasting is whether I'm actively praying or whatever. Fasting itself is a type of prayer. Okay. But I think what makes fasting effective is when I shut down my world, I kind of cordon off space and time, and I say, God, I am coming to you to specifically address this issue. And the issue in this case is something in my past won't let me go. Now, when Jesus introduced himself in the book of Revelation, he said, "I am he that was and is and is to come," right?
Right.
So Satan doesn't mind you being he that was. He's going to try to get you not to be present enough to say, "I'm he that is." What scares him the most is he that is to come, because he doesn't know the plan of God for your life.
Right.
He can't read your thoughts. So he needs to manipulate you into kind of tipping your hand until he figures out what you really have planned. He's going to try to hold you in a space. He wants to hold you in a space where he had the upper hand, where he had the advantage. And the way to break this is through prayer. It's through prayer. Another thing I found, and people don't pay attention to this a lot anymore, is confession. Through the power, your words give so much weight to what's going to develop in your life, what you say, what you speak in faith. According to Mark 11 and different scriptures in the Bible, our professional faith, what I'm declaring about my future, has a lot to do with how I negotiate this foot in the door syndrome, because it is real and it is demonic. Listen, okay, what about it? I'm going to share this. As someone watching this podcast right now can relate to this. You were in this space where you were by yourself and you're trying to navigate, a relationship. So, okay, you may have gotten a good job, you've got whatever, but you don't have the relationship. All of a sudden, you meet someone, and it seems like it's going somewhere, and out of nowhere, someone from your past inboxes you or texts you, reach out to you. And it just seems so odd that no one was checking for you. Then all of a sudden, you meet someone nice, and then this new world shows up.
You see
what I'm saying? It is not a coincidence. This is a trick of the enemy. It's part of his patented package to try to get you to kind of distract you. Because it's a part of this, distract you from your future, to keep you in your past. And if he can keep you circling mountains, you'll never inherit promises.
This is so rich already. Like, we're 5 minutes in, and this is incredible. And so you mentioned distractions, and I've seen you talking quite a bit about distractions over the last couple of weeks on the socials as well. I think we should take some time to unpack this. And one of the reasons why I mentioned this is we talked about this at the start of the year, how quickly the believer gets their attention moved on to this, that, or the other. Like, literally the year started and the saints were mad about a New Year's Eve service. And then, the next couple of days they were mad about something else. And then they're mad. I mean, literally, not even weekly, it's almost daily, there's a new thing that comes up that manages to get people's attention. What can people do to be able to address these kinds of distractions? Because I don't think it's, to what you just said, I don't think it's coincidental that all of these things are fighting for our attention almost daily.
Yeah. So, Gerard, what the key thing is that we have a limited capacity.
Right.
Jesus made a statement. He said, sufficient to every day is the evil thereof. Right. Mm-hmm. He said that in the context of seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, these things will be added unto you. Right. And then in that same context, he talked about sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. In other words, every day is going to bring its own set of circumstances, its own set of troubles. You have to know how to kind of leverage your capacity where you realize I don't have the bandwidth to speak to that. I can't have an opinion about everything. Everything is out there is not for me. I recently saw a therapist, a psychologist was talking about how the human mind was not designed to know everything that's happening in the world at the same time.
Wow.
It's given us, we live in localities, right? We have a nationality, right? And we understand global things. So you have local, national, global, right? We live local, right? We are part of a nation. We're national, but globally, we understand there's other communities out there. We can't be a part. We can't live in all three. I can't live locally, nationally, and globally. I have to live in one space. I get news from another space and I have to decide, should I even engage that, right? But with the World Wide Web and social media, we're literally getting the worst of the news from all parts of the globe. You have to manage capacity. You have to say to yourself, I am not designed to take all this in or to comment on everything or get into meaningless arguments with people. This entire thing is about capacity and broken focus. If there's not enough of you showing up in a space to pursue whatever you're pursuing, you're not going to get it done. If this project you're working on needs 75% of your capacity assigned to it, if you're pulled apart in four different directions, that means you only have 25% of capacity to give to it, right? This entire thing about distraction is about making it where you're not enough. You know, we like to tell people, I'm enough. He wants to make sure that you're not enough to get it done. And then when people reject the 25% you bring to the table, actually saying, well, that's, you're not enough. Now you're offended that people saying you're not enough, but you didn't bring enough to the table. You're giving 25% there, 25% there, and then you bring in 25% to the table to a project that needs at least 75% of you, right? So you can't get it done. That makes sense?
Oh, it makes perfect sense. I had this interesting thought. You know, we've heard people say randomly that the church of old had more power, you know, which I don't know that that's a fair statement, but based on what you just said, it makes me wonder, seeing that the generations of old had fewer elements to distract them, mm-hmm. Is it possible that, to your point, they were able to give more focus to, you know, the things of God, to developing a relationship with God and those types of things? They didn't have all of these devices and outlets and things that were fighting for their attention. Not like that. I mean, those generations, TV, if they had TV, went off.
Right.
They'd sing the national anthem and there was nothing to watch, you know. there were no handheld devices, you know. They barely had computers in their homes. And if they did, they didn't have access to the rest of the world. They were still writing letters.
Right.
You know, we had pen pals. What right? Like
back in the day. Yeah.
So that is an interesting point, that we don't have enough attention to focus on the task at hand, which also lends to this thought, all this talk about multitasking.
Yeah.
Is that another one of those elements of distraction? The idea that you have to be multitasking to actually accomplish something versus taking your attention and focusing on a singular task.
Yeah. So here's an interesting point. Most of the millionaires in the world only do one thing. I read a study just this week. Matter of fact, 2 days ago, I read a study that was showing where most millionaires don't multitask. As a matter of fact, they designate. They would prefer to hire someone to do tasks that they feel need to be done. It may be menial or it may not be. But their mentality is, I need to be focused on this. The way it works, even in the spiritual space, the more present I am, the more presence I experience. Mm. Got it? The more present I am, the more presence I experience. The more focused I am. I trade focus for presence. So when you look at at Acts, where the disciples were in the upper room, right? Mm-hmm. They locked into the upper room. Their focus was there. It was all there. They gave themselves to prayer, and the power of God came. Presence came. What we miss is we try to be everywhere. But the thing is, if you're everywhere, it means that you're nowhere.
Right.
You're everywhere, you're nowhere. And so I also saw another video that I thought was interesting on the night that LeBron broke the scoring record. I think he passed Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for scoring a leader. That night, they showed all these people with their phones trying to capture the moment. But it zeroed in on one guy. I don't know if you saw this on ESPN's video feed. There was one older guy sitting there, no camera in hand, just taking in the moment. And all these phones around him were trying to catch the moment. When LeBron broke the record, he was watching. He was taking it in. He was old enough to know that I could videotape it and dilute the moment.
Right.
I use my phone, right? So right. I have to watch it over and over again. Why? Because I wasn't present for it. That's what we videotape these things. Most of the things we videotape them to capture them, but we weren't present for it. And then 9 times out of 10, we don't go back and watch the video.
We sure don't.
We'll share the video on to the next thing. I think we, the people who are tending to live by social media or live on social media, think that the whole world is like that, but it's not. As a matter of fact, people who are so inundated and so infatuated with social media are watching the lives of people who are actually doing something.
Right.
You know, and if you circle back to the foot in the door syndrome, to me, one of the things that the enemy is the master of distraction, deception, seduction. Yes. They're all parts of distraction. They're cousins. In seduction, I show you something beautiful to get your attention.
Right.
So I can trick you. In deception, it's a bait and switch. I show you one thing because I want to give you another. They're all distractions. They're fighting against a thing in our life called traction. Because once I get traction, right, it means that I can climb any hill. I could go through any terrain. I could win any battle if I have traction. Okay? So we got to be careful not just of distraction, but of attraction.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And then in relationships, detraction. Who's taking from you your traction? All these things are important because if you're going to be something, it's going to need all of you present. I think I'm coming back to this. If you're going to be he that is to come, you have to have a vision for what you're going to be, and you have to have the capacity that when you show up and say, I'm going to take the classes, I'm going to get the certification, I'm going to start the business or whatever, is that there's enough of you present. Because when you were younger, right, it was mandated, but your parents made you go to school. They made you do your homework. They made you. Now that you're adult, you're the parent. And you have to make yourself do the things, right? You have to make yourself show up. Most people don't have the kind of discipline that would allow them to show up to a space and show up to the situation with enough of them, enough of me at the table to bring things to pass.
More of our heart-to-heart conversation is on the way. Stay tuned.
Why, yeah.
Have you subscribed to Hart Ramsey's Uplift? It's his national text message service where daily you can hear from the heart of God by way of the man of God, Pastor Hart Ramsey. To receive this daily encouragement, text the word UPLIFT to the number 334-310-4278. Again, text the word UPLIFT to the number 334-310-4278. Uplift your spirit, encourage your heart, and empower your walk. Subscribe today to Hart Ramsey's UPLIFT.
Imagine being filled with a peace so deep that the world around you can't touch it. Pastor Hart Ramsey is on a mission to help believers understand what it means to have a healthy prayer-based relationship with God. He's doing that through his book, Seeking Answers, Finding Rest Through Prayer. In this book, you'll learn how to ensure your relationship with God is based on a new and improved covenant, which dangerous prayer habits to avoid, and what to do when prayer doesn't yield the answers you want. It's time to trust God enough to make your prayer life truly about Him. Pick up your copy of Seeking Answers, Finding Rest Through Prayer from Hart Ramsey today. Available now on Amazon, iTunes, and wherever books are sold. Do you love this podcast? There are several ways you can show it. You can share your love for this podcast on the socials and use the hashtag OnCourseHartRamsey or Heart to Heart. That's H-A-R-T, the number 2, H-E-A-R-T. You can also subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and now you can find us on Spotify. So if you rock with Spotify, it's an easy way to access us. Search for On Course with Hart Ramsey and subscribe. Thank you so much for your continued support and keep listening to On Course with Hart Ramsey. Stay connected with Pastor Hart Ramsey on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Hart Ramsey. Let's go back into today's heart-to-heart conversation featuring Pastor Hart Ramsey.
Yeah, you just said a key word that kind of answered a question in my head, and that was discipline.
Mm.
You know, the ability to have a goal that's in mind that is so much of the priority that we say, this is where I'm going to place my focus, and I'm going to allow my actions to line up with that.
Yeah.
Now here's what's so crazy. Obviously, when our generations were kids, as we mentioned, we had those people over us that were doing that. Nowadays, and it's so funny, I was uploading a video before we started this, and one of the videos that I saw was, you know, this whole "of course" trend that's going around. And it was a 19-year-old who's like, I'm a 19-year-old millionaire. Of course I do, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, wait.
Yep.
You're what? You know, and those kinds of videos, images, and messages can cause people who are not 19, who are older than 19, to go, what's wrong with me? You know? Why am I not accomplishing what I need to accomplish? So let's talk about this, because in order for there to be discipline, to a point that you made earlier, there has to be vision.
Yeah.
What can people do to actually zero in and sharpen what their actual vision for their life is?
Yeah.
Because that's really, you know, the Bible talks about where there's no vision, the people perish because we cast off restraint, literally. So What does a person have to do to be able to narrow in on what the vision for their life is?
Well, I think one of the biggest things that I see in terms of identifying, you know, what you're called to or what you're supposed to accomplish, your purpose in life, is that we don't assess ourselves enough. A self-evaluation. What do you have?
Yeah.
What do you like?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What frustrates you? What excites you? What can you do for long periods of time and the clock seems to just disappear?
Yeah.
Okay. That's one part of it. I think a part of it is we have to know what we have, who we are, what we bring. The next thing is exposure. I think we have to expose ourselves to success in a certain arena. Most people struggle for lack of direction. I'm going to give you a good example. When I was younger, right, I was a prolific songwriter. As a matter of fact, I could write songs at the drop of a hat. It was just a gift, right? My first foray into jazz, I wasn't playing. I was writing for jazz artists.
Wow.
So the first time I heard myself on a record, It wasn't my record. It was, I was riding down the highway. Never forget it. I'm going from Huntsville, Alabama to Birmingham. And one of my friends was following me in his car. He pulls up next to me. He rolls the window down and says, put the radio on. Put the radio. He's telling me, go to this station. So I turn it on and my song is blasting, right? Because the artist just released it. And I had written 4 or 5 songs for that record, right? But I was a prolific songwriter, but it was because I was exposed to such good music. Mm-hmm. That it caused not just vision, but desire. Exposure to someone who is succeeding at a thing that you're called to inspires you. Inspiration is a powerful thing. A lot of people lack inspiration. So there's no discipline because there's no inspiration. You see what I'm saying? I believe that inspiration provokes discipline. It makes you want to stay in there and do it. Diligence is this maximum sustained effort. Discipline is when I enforce obedience, when I make myself do something because I see value in it. I may not like the process, but I want the results. Mm-hmm. What we don't do enough of is expose ourselves to the kind of success that motivates us. A 19-year-old millionaire, first question I would ask is, what do you do?
Right.
How did you get, you see what I'm saying?
Right.
I really believe, I don't believe that success is that difficult. I'm getting back to this where I think we become distracted. I don't think we stay with things long enough or study them thoroughly enough to know what makes them work. Mm-hmm. Right. So this is a thing that I'm recording some content, and I'm experimenting with something, and they told me YouTube. I was talking to someone who YouTube pays them crazy money. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, but I don't ever see your stuff. And their thing is, you may not see it, but here's the check.
Wow.
So they have an audience that watches this stuff, right? Yes. They're selling advertisement mm-hmm. on their videos, right? There's certain ways to do it. And the people who are making money doing certain things have locked in. They become focused. They discipline themselves. I got to make videos today. I got to do this today. And so there are people like they're 19-year-old millionaires because the convention of I got to get up and go out to work, punch a clock, that's changing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And it's funny. I was talking to someone. I don't remember who I was talking to. And we were having a very similar discussion about this and how this generation. Okay, so back up. So for several generations, there are people who marked success by what they saw, which was their parents. Mm-hmm. And their parents, what success looked like was having a job, going into a 9-to-5, you know, punching a clock, in some cases working 2 or 3 jobs, that kind of thing. So the idea of working one job seemed lazy to some.
Mm-hmm.
And then in most cases, people weren't taught to actually pursue your dreams or what it is that you really like, because those are passions and passions don't make money.
Right.
What I think is interesting is this generation, as crazy as this sounds, most don't have the 2-parent household. So because they don't have the 2-parent household, they don't have, you know, 2 parents that are saying to them, hey, you got to go out and get a job and you got to do it this way. You got to do it that way. They are now brave enough to figure out, I got to make this work for me.
Yeah.
So what works? So now I said all of that to say, how do people whose exposure to success was only 2 parents working 3 jobs, how does that change to them having the courage to pursue what's in their heart?
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
It does make sense. So the thing is that first of all, we have to realize the world has changed. It was progressing towards this change, and mm-hmm. almost like fate or a prophetic or interruption in time. The 2020-2021 pandemic, the way the world was shut down and reset. So we were gravitating through this change in philosophy. Right. Mm-hmm. We were gravitating to that where frustration was coming with working hard and making little money or being overtaxed. Right? And then the world shuts down.
Right.
And then watch this. The world shut down long enough for people, for a whole generation to test the theory.
Mm-hmm.
The theory that they were testing was, can I stay at home and make the same money I would have made if I had gotten in my car and drove this long distance, got in the traffic. And what really, really flipped things on its head is that people realized I could literally make more money at home than I was making before. So whatever lie, whatever social programming was blanketing or covering the entire population, it was lifted long enough where people, where the younger people especially realized, oh, there's a different way we could do this, and they'll never go back to that. For example, there are people, even in multitasking, I know people during the pandemic were working three different jobs in the same 8-hour time span.
Right.
So they were working online. And so they'll finish this project, then they'll do this project for this thing. They were doing three, and they will actually, they set themselves up not as an employee, but as a business. So for example, people who are doing video editing and stuff like that were necessary. They'll have 4, 5, 6, 7 clients making crazy money, and then they realize I have a whole business.
Mm-hmm.
So the world had to shut down for people to know that. And I think those divinely inspired interruptions are necessary in our lives. Sometimes a person will lose a job. Someone watching us may have lost their jobs and can't figure out, why can't I find a job? Maybe God is trying to show you there's a different way to do what you need to do to fulfill the purpose that you were sent here to fulfill. Yeah. Maybe God is trying to show you that in this interruption, you may have suffered a little bit, but it didn't hit you the way you thought it would have. You realize that money is not the paycheck is not my God. I have a God supplying. You got it. There's that part of it. Mm-hmm. That there's a different, I have to see a different future in order to go to it. Yeah.
You are so right. And that's where, again, exposure becomes important. It's funny. Growing up in church, I remember in the little town I grew up in, they didn't want us to go away. They didn't want us to go out for fear that exposure would cause us to leave Jesus, right? But not realizing that, A, if Jesus is that weak, there's a problem. And B, that exposure would only expand what I was able to potentially do. So let's talk about exposure and what can people do, or what can we advise people to do in terms of places to go, things to do to expand the boundaries that they have for what success looks like?
Yeah. So I think so social media is good for that in limited quantities. Mm-hmm. You can get a sense, because everything in social media is not as it seems.
Right.
So you have to be careful of the deception of success being sold to you, and it's really just a prop.
Right.
But I think exposure, like when you talk about, like, you have to find people who are really doing something and kind of track them, investigate them, see if is it legit. And then another part of it too, I believe, is like, for example, this is a big exposure piece. If you wanted to become good at something or recognized in a certain field, you have to go to a college to get it. Nowadays, you don't need the degree as much as you need a certification.
True.
People are more interested in the fact that you can do the job than you went to a certain college to be able to. Because right now, I don't know if you saw this, there's certain jobs where they're removing the bachelor's degree requirement.
Really?
They would take a certification in the same field. If you're certified by a legitimate organization, a credible organization that has reputation. I believe that one of the things in terms of exposure is kind of like, for example, at home, I am not a handyman. I'm telling you this right now. And so there are certain things I used to do. I bring someone else to do it. But in our house, we wanted to change. We had a lock that went bad.
Okay.
It's a special kind of lock. And so we went to look for it, and they don't make the lock anymore. It's the door handling lock. It's nice, kind of high end. So I went to a local thing, and I said, we found some locks that we liked, right? Okay. And so I bought a bunch of them and decided I'm going to do it myself. Now, something. The project looked impossible, right? It looked impossible because I'd never done it before. I'd never seen anybody do it. What did I do? Yeah. I sat down and watched a YouTube video. Mm-hmm. And I watched this YouTube video, I rewound it, I paused, I did it, and then I said, I think I could do that. So I went and tried one. So I had to go to a place. I couldn't do the outside door because if I didn't get it fixed, we'd be exposed.
Right.
But I did. I went to a bathroom door.
Okay.
And I took it off. It took me 15 minutes.
Wow.
And so when I found it was only 15 minutes, the next time it took 10 minutes. The third time it took 5 minutes. So I not only was I exposed by watching YouTube, but doing not I'm hands on. Now I could teach you a class on how to do it. I know the tools. I learned some things I didn't know before. Now I understand better how locks work.
Mm-hmm.
That's important. I think when we expose ourselves to certain things, you're going to realize that there's stuff that you think is almost impossible to do. Not only is it impossible to do, it's crazy you don't do it yourself.
Right.
There's money to be made right now in the arena that we're living in without much extra effort. And the only difference is the word exposure. You think it's impossible because you've never been exposed to it. You never seen anybody do it. You've never heard anybody explain it. No one has walked you through it. And then we have this veil over our minds.
Yeah.
That tells us because we were raised in a different generation, telling us that we can't function this generation, we can't do it. And it's a lie. Matter of fact, we're more than equipped to do it because what we bring from our generation is a whole nother set of skills, a whole nother set of knowledge. We have wisdom, understanding from a different time that we could bring in and superimpose on this time we're in and benefit. Yeah.
So good. I love where this episode went, right? Like it started one way and it's really stayed the course, but it's just kind of traveled a bit different. And this all circles back to this whole foot in the door, because what we're talking about is how to ultimately move forward.
Right.
And whether that is spiritually, emotionally, financially, you've got to be able to move forward. And the only way to do that is to not leave the door open, right? Commit. So let's talk about this before we go, because I know as I thought about the foot in the door syndrome, I thought about how so many who might have been brought up in church were never really given the confidence to be able to say, yep, that's what God said. Or, yeah, this is God's will. It was always, well, if it be the Lord's will, maybe I'll go do it, you know. So how can people gain the confidence to fully slam the door on yesterday and march forward to tomorrow?
Yeah, I think the only qualification, the only way we're really qualified to receive our future is to let go of our past. What I trade, the price for vision is a closed door. Doors, so there's a rule, right? And so Mama used to say, you remember this, you open the door and you're standing in the doorway and she's like, either you're inside or you're outside, right? It's right. Like that. A door is a funny thing. You're either inside or you're outside. Standing at the threshold is a waste. It's like, You see what I'm saying? So I need to close this door to embrace this room.
Mm-hmm.
I need to close the door on the inside to go outside, or vice versa, close the door on the outside to go inside. The price of admission to the next thing is I give up the last thing. And if we don't learn to do that, we're going to find ourselves, again, not having enough of capacity left to do what needs to be done. That's the message of this podcast, I believe, is that, you know, and another thing too, sometimes we don't close the door in the past because emotionally we're not ready. Mm-hmm. Especially if what you had in the past was a success. It's easy to close the door if it was a failure, but if it was a success going forward, you have to trade, you have to gamble your past success on a future success. Mm-hmm. And if you're not sure, then I always say to people, don't move until you're sure, but don't move until you're sure enough to take steps. Because what some people will do is they wait and they say, I'm not sure, so I'll just leap. Don't leap. When you leap, you don't know where you're going to land.
Right.
Go forward in steps. God orders steps. He doesn't order leaps. And so you go forward in steps, and you plan your steps, and you take them. And if the step you take does not get the result you want, then you take another step. But you got you. The key is, you pay attention to what's behind you. There are people, for example, who have. I'm gonna give some examples of what foot in the door can look like. It could look like child support.
Hmm.
So here's my thing about that. I'm going to speak to that. So if there's a person that's attached to you, a child, right? You don't consider that, because some people say, well, that's what, you know, I can't get ahead before having to pay that. No, this is what you do. You bring, if there's something in your past that you cannot cut ties with, then you make peace with it and you involve it in, you see what I'm saying? Because you can't treat, if you treat it as a burden, it becomes a burden.
Wow.
In that case, what I do, I go back, I make peace, I resolve the issue, right? And when I close the door, listen to this, when the door is closed, that child is on this side of the door, not on the other side. That makes sense? I don't close the child out. Examples, alimony could be a foot in the door. Okay? Mm-hmm. A property that you own that maybe sitting empty needs to be rented, or maybe you're still making payments on it, could be a foot in the door, right? Yeah. An unfinished job, you had a thing to do, you didn't get it done. A part of closing the door to me is finishing business. Take care of the business of it. I mean, it's not gonna go away, you know.
Right.
For some people, a foot in the door is a warrant. I mean, let's talk real. It's a warrant.
Yeah, yeah,
it's an unfinished court case or legal battle. You say, well, I'm just running from the government. For some people, it's a student loan. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't know where I am. At some point, the burden of trying to hide gets too heavy.
Yes.
And you're not going to be, so in this case, you have capacity to go forward. You just don't have the strength, because your secret, you're only as strong as your secrets. You have to make, I'm calling out real things. It could be a relationship. It could be that you broke somebody's heart. It could be that somebody broke your heart. Make peace with these things so you can shut it down. And it may be that when you go to make peace, the person cusses you all the way out. Okay. If that's what it takes to close the door, then take your cussing out and move to your future.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? If you, I was wrong, I messed up. Okay. Own it. Get it set, fixed, and then you go forward. Because the reality is, as long as that door is open to your past, your future will not ever feel right. It will feel like you'll feel like a stranger, like an imposter, trying to do something you're not supposed to be doing. When in reality, the only thing is you're in two places at one time.
And on that note, wow, that man, I hope that you guys grabbed every piece of that you took notes. And if you need to listen to this again, listen to it again, because I genuinely believe that there were keys that we gave today that hopefully will unlock your future and allow you to embrace it and not have to keep measuring yourself by what was. So, wow, this was amazing. Make sure that you guys are reaching out to us. We want to hear what you have learned and how this episode has helped you. So you can hit us with hashtags on course, the hashtag heart to heart, or if you want to reach out to Pastor Hart directly on the socials at Hart Ramsey. He's very easy to find. Just don't come with any craziness, because he'll block you. But this is a fantastic topic. And if there are future topics you want us to discuss, let us know. Make sure you are subscribed to this podcast and you're sharing what we're doing with your friends and followers. And join us next time as we get on course with Hart Ramsey.